What are we? What makes us what we are? And what we're gonna be? I think it's that right there. It's grit.
Stop turning my volume down, Adrian. Let it play. This is the All Grit Podcast, and we're back, baby. By popular demand. When a hate week goes like that, we're just going to let that music play for, you know, just let it play the whole episode. Woo! Dan Campbell, you are the man. Guys, let's talk about Dan Campbell. Just give me a sentence about Dan Campbell today. Go ahead, Clay. How do you feel about your coach?
Best coach in Lions history, man, by far. I even know the last 50 coaches, but what a stud, man. Mm.
You agree, Adrian?
Best coach in the league. Best coach in the league. People are kicking their behinds because they didn't hire Dan Campbell. Well, I'll get into a little later too with the New Orleans Saints, but. People wish they had our coach. Let's just say leave it at that for now.
And they're trying to be our coach. You watch the rest of the games, man. They're trying to be us, and it doesn't work.
It's a copycat league.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But Dan, man, he's a player's coach. I mean, he's just a guy that you like regardless, but obviously with the success. Man, like it seems like in every interview, he's like your cool uncle. You just like hang on to every word he says and then just get fired up.
So lucky to have
Dan here.
All right. Well, let's keep our devices close to us on loud because any minute now we could have breaking news. We're recording Monday night, 6:10. So probably as soon as we hit record and publish on this episode is when we'll get some breaking news of Za'Darius coming over
or someone else.
Yeah.
Missing. Two people got released today. So
yeah, let's talk about that too. Yeah. They just cleaned up two roster spots, right?
On the defense too. So,
okay.
I think we mentioned was a linebacker.
All right. Someone's got to mute that. Cause that's annoying. Is a squeaky dog toy one episode and then an alert the next.
Yeah, hey, I do want to apologize to everybody. That last episode, that was my dog. My bad.
Hey, before we get into too much talk, let's hear a word from our sponsor this week. It's a really good sponsor, so let's hear from him.
Looking for a personal trainer? Looking to transform your body this winter? Check out this week's sponsor, Iron Sanctuary in Flint, Michigan, on Instagram and Facebook. You can find Dewante at Dewante_GymLifeMedia, all one word. That's at DAWANTA_GYMLIFEMEDIA. Even if you don't live in Flint, trust us, it's worth the drive. Live too far away? He also offers virtual sessions online. No one gets you results like Dewante. Are you worried you can't work out because you don't have anyone to watch the kids? No worries. Lo Sanctum, the daycare connected to the gym, is here for you. Contact Dewante for more details.
All right. Thank you for the sponsor, my brother. Appreciate you. All right, let's get into it, boys. I got to hear some. Where do you guys want to start?
I don't know where to start, man. I'm too excited.
Do we start with stats right away? Do we talk about how, you know, little brother has now become big brother for the past 3 years? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, where's Derek at? We should have had him on the pod again.
I think he went back to Mexico after that.
Was that three straight wins in Lambeau for the first time since 1800s or something like that, I think?
Yeah, 1956, I believe. So, yeah, basically.
Bro, we might not ever lose a game ever again. Am I right or what? The Lions.
Was looking the schedule, what the next loss could be.
Yeah, Bears was schedule up.
So Bears, you know, always got
Houston. That's a dub because they're on a downslide.
Yep. Yeah. They lost.
So we got Houston, Jacksonville.
That's a win.
Colts.
I'm going to that game, so that's a win.
Oh, you're going to Indy?
Yeah.
Bears.
Win.
Packers in our house.
That's a dub.
Another dub.
I think this is the one that I had in mind is the Bills. I think the Bills is the one to circle. That's going to be a...
All right. There could be a second loss. We'll just keep it at two.
Bears.
No, it's a dub. Oh, that's away, though. Okay, we'll just...
I'm going to that one. We're winning because I'll be there.
All right. And then we close out with Niners and Vikings.
Okay. Three.
I don't think
we're going to need to play that last game. So I say three or four losses.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at right now.
We might be resting. We might be resting some guys.
Yeah,
depending on the standings, but
even Vikings, with the backups, we'll win.
So,
bro, isn't that
my buddy says 13 wins gets us the NFC bye. So
yeah,
and I agree with that. I think 13 wins will lock it in.
Yeah, you know what, Packers hated rival. I think it's a good day to maybe crack a bottle just in their demise. You guys agree with that?
I mean, in their honor.
I know some of you have a meeting tonight, but you know, let's crack a Weller in celebration. Just, you know,
no meeting this week.
Oh yeah, assembly. Yeah,
assembly.
So, in charge to Aaron Rodgers with the two fingers of tequila when he found out they drafted Jordan Love. All right, boys, let's get into it. Let's get into facts. So we have, and this once again is just, it's mind blowing. It's all over the news.
Yeah.
I was just listening to Around the Horn, which I didn't even know that show was still on. And also PTI, like the two oldest shows that I remember as a kid. So facts, 28 touchdowns Jared Goff and the team has thrown. Cause remember, a couple running backs and wide receivers have thrown touchdowns.
Oh, yeah.
28 touchdowns to 24 incompletions. Plax, tell me about that. Because remember, a couple weeks ago, it was like 20 to 18 or something like that. Now we're at 28 touchdowns, 24 incompletions.
I just feel like us a little bit, and definitely league-wide, you keep waiting for that back to reality moment, and it's just not happening. We're just doing this every week. I mean, just Jared Goff, 18 for 22, 145 yards. I mean, I forgot to get the guy's app to shout him out. I was going back and forth again with a guy. He was saying how Goff as MVP is a joke, 145 yards, check yourself. You didn't do nothing. Why are you doing the post-game interview? He didn't have to do anything else.
Right.
145 yards, it felt like he threw for 400. I mean,
it's a
monsoon. It's a torrential downpour.
Right. Exactly.
I feel like you could tell the elements really affected Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Did not affect the Lions.
That's the thing. Like, that's their – house. Yep. That's their house. They're supposed to be the team that was supposed to, you know, do good in those elements, and we were the team that only plays inside, that we can't play outside, and it looked the exact opposite. Like, they were fumbling the ball, dropping passes,
and you can tell by that after interview with Jared Goff, they listen, bro. They're listening to the chatter, and that's what I love. It's like sometimes you wonder, like, if they're so much in a bubble that they don't hear all the trash talk, but they were listening because Jared Goff right away, he's got that smirk on his face, and he's like, we're the inside team, we're the dome team. We came out here and whooped. Like,
yep.
They're it's listening, fuel. And I'll be honest with you, I heard it before listening to like an hour or two before the game. And they were all saying, you know, Detroit can't wet the balls during practice and know how it's going to be during a live game. Like, they kept saying Detroit's not ready for outdoor. I mean, it was just driving me nuts, the slappiness that I was hearing.
And then it was Green Bay who had all the trouble.
Yeah. All the trouble.
I think two straight drives there, Love bobbled at least two times on each drive.
And six, I believe six drop passes from the Packers receivers slash running backs. I mean, plays that literally would have brought them right back in the game.
If one was a touchdown, like hands down. One, I thought he caught it, and I was like, thank you, Packers. Thanks for dropping those. Appreciate you.
Right. All right, let's get into Amon-Ra. So, disrespectful. You got a picture, Adrian, you got a picture you can throw up about Amon-Ra doing his little head sound. I'm not sure if you can. It's too late notice.
I'll look.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, to go with that.
Yeah, he saw that from a college play earlier the other day, right? Yeah. And then he wanted to copy it.
Kind of going hand-in-hand with golf is 30 straight pass attempts to St. Brown completed.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. Go ahead and into that. It's a I heard Mike Valeni say today, think about this. You could have a 30 for 30, right? ESPN 30 for 30 about golf and Amon-Ra. Look at that.
Oh,
that is disrespectful.
And that's okay, something,
so, good shot, right?
Something that Manning and Harrison never did. Like, they're goated as the best QB wide receiver combo. And Goff and St. Brown over here sneak attacking.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Goff, you got some more stats on him, Plax. I got the only thing I got for Goff is out of his last six games, highest QBR in NFL history at 140. You think about all the quarterbacks that came before him. You think about Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees. this dude's
Joe Montana. Go through the Hall of Fame, bro.
Dan Marino, Dan Fouts.
That's crazy. First, and I think Tom Brady brought it out on the broadcast, didn't he?
Yeah. First QB in history to complete 80% of his passes over a six-game stretch.
And this is not just because we're just playing bottom of the league, bottom growers every week. I mean,
got a tough schedule. Played
a pretty strong schedule. They said the same thing when we were going on the road to Minnesota. Said the same thing when we were going on the road to Green Bay. And I think, just like you said, mentioned before, Caleb, about them listening to the chatter or at least hearing a little bit of it, I just feel like they take every game personal. And I think from the top down, Dan Campbell, you know, I think he feeds into that. You know, everybody says, I don't see nothing on Instagram. I don't see this. I don't hear that. But they know what they're saying, and they want the respect. And I just feel like they come out with a chip on their shoulder every single game, whether they're highly favored or not. And this is the result of it.
Mm-hmm. And Amon-Ra has hatred for the Green Bay team, the city. I mean, he wore a sweater saying Green Bay sucks as soon as he gets off the bus. I mean, the dude just – and some people are like, oh, why are you starting that? And then some people are like, you know what? Uh-oh. Yeah, buddy. Turn it up. Turn it up.
I know you like that.
Turn it up. The dude is just – and my wife was saying the other day, she's like, you know, I saw a video where it said when Amon-Ra was getting drafted, there was one team that Amon-Ra did not want to come to, and it was the Lions. And now he's here, and he just, like, takes the whole city. I mean, they have done miracles since they drafted him and just embraces it, and just, you know, he's bringing back the – we already talked about black and blue division, but he's bringing back the rivalry within Green Bay. You know, we're not the pushover anymore. Like,
it felt like a college game. You know what I mean? Like, it really did. It was him going to Lambeau with the shirt and just, like, the first hour leading into the game. It felt like a college rivalry game. It was fun.
When they showed Dog Goff warming up, man, I just felt he was locked in. Like, I didn't expect them to pass it as much as they did, though, but he was ready, man. Him and his two gloves.
Yep. Teddy two glove. All right. Real quick before we actually let's get into the Lions offense just a little bit more before we get into defense. So something I saw Lions offense, this goes back to the 30 completions in a row to Amon-Ra without an incompletion, which is just mind blowing that you can throw to somebody 30 times and not have an incompletion. So that's where Amon-Ra's at. That's their connection. They're 30 for 30. So if you think about this, if I asked you guys, what was the last offense in the NFL that was as proficient? Is that the word?
Efficient.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Effective. Oh,
effective. Yeah. I'm blending all three words together, but let's, what was the last offense that was this good, this efficient? Can you even remember? And I'll tell you if you're right or wrong. Just throw out some offenses in your past that you remember.
I will say Peyton Manning with Denver in 13, 14, that window.
There was a show on turf with the Rams.
Well, that's going back to 1999.
And that's, you're the talking about recent, right? What so, about like no, New England?
And there Brady. It is, the 07 Patriots.
07 Patriots, wow. Yeah.
So, but think about that. You're at 07 Patriots before you have this type of production. And then before that, it's the greatest show on turf, 99 Rams. So if we keep at this
pace,
yeah, we're talking about a team that when we talk about defense, they say, oh, the 85 Bears. Oh, greatest show on turf Rams. Oh, the Patriots bro, if we stay on this pace, we will be mentioned with those two teams. Unbelievable.
We could have hung more points.
Yep.
You know, on them in the fourth quarter, but they were just, you know, ready to end the game, which was a smart thing. But I mean, even, you know, there's been a last game where they could have scored more if they wanted to. Even if they hang 40, they could have hang 60 on them. It's like at will whenever they want to score.
And this was the most conservative Lions game that I can remember, really, in the last couple of years. Yep, they had the one little reverse to
as far as trick plays go,
Khalif.
Yeah, I mean, they punted on every punt. They took they took 3 points when they had it. Mm-hmm. They had the little reverse to Khalif, didn't work out, but literally it was a just like a regular game plan. No crazy fireworks, and they still just kind of did whatever they wanted to do.
We just listened to McKinley, bro. We didn't want to do trick plays. He said he doesn't like those. So remember,
right?
McKinley. I forget his last name. Yeah. But
McKinley.
Yeah, we want to listen to him and respect his feelings. So we didn't want any of that.
Oh man!
All right, so let's switch over to defense. How the defense looked to you guys? And I have one comment about one player. Let's see if you guys have the same.
I think we're all thinking it is. The call Brian from New Grant. York, which is strictly a call from New York, because New York won the Green Bay.
Let's get into that first.
All right.
Complete dog water, as the kids say.
Right. I mean, it was a penalty, but I mean, I didn't see no targeting or that's backyard football in the rain, man.
Mm-hmm. There is no targeting call in the NFL. That's a college call. Yep. There's roughing or what do they call it?
Unnecessary roughness.
Basically the same thing what they did by calling it from New York. Yeah. It's like that's what they were saying.
And I kept waiting. I'm like, oh man. And then they do. I'm like, just snap the ball, and then they called it. I was like,
But I feel like he was kind of putting his shoulder into it. No, I did not like it. Like, yeah, I get it. Like, throw the flag, that's fine. Because there was helmet to helmet contact. I get it.
Absolutely.
But it wasn't like it was the crown of the helmet. Like he was trying to go towards the shoulder. But I mean, I heard a lot of networks talk about this today and nobody agreed with the call because it can be very subjective in the moment for even if they're in New York to be like, oh, let's get this guy out of the game. Like, why not let the emotions pass by, give it a day. And then the next day, if it warrants suspension, they can suspend him for the next game. If it warrants that call, like earlier in the day, the guy that knocked out Chris Olave from the Saints, put him in the hospital. He didn't get ejected from the game.
Right.
And he put a guy in the hospital.
So we're paying Googled that during the game.
We're paying for his sins is what we're doing.
Right.
Yep. Missed call. So they gave it to us.
Yeah.
I mean, by the letter of the law, it was a penalty. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I'll say it was egregious or he's headhunting. His head did come down. I do feel like he was really going to try and lead with the shoulder, but it just didn't work out that way. And I try to keep a fair mind and not let my Lions Pride affected, and I agree it was a penalty. But to kick him out of the game, especially that early, and like to really review that and make a late call to like to kick him out of the game, it still didn't really worry me as far as losing him. But it was, I don't know, it was. I haven't heard one person like you guys said say, "Oh yeah, that was the right call to eject him." I'll take the penalty all day.
Yeah,
but it did not look super egregious to me.
Sounded like even Brady was surprised. Like the announcers were kind of.
Yeah, he couldn't say anything. But
He's like, I'm gonna ignore that, but that's weird.
It seems. I thought it was always, you know, you got a warning for unnecessary roughness or whatever. But you know, sideline warning, whatever. Like you're having a warning, and if it happens again, then you're out. So to me, the call from New York was like just over the top. Over the top. And like you said, I think we're paying for other teams' sins, because if the dude would have laid straight and like acted concussed, you know, totally get it. Like, but the dude gets up. Dude gets up quicker than Branch.
Yeah, ready for the next play. And
it's just.
But if that's a 1 o'clock in the afternoon game against Jacksonville or anybody else, like they're not going to kick him out of the game. I think
that's what I don't understand. Like the NFL, don't they want to put a good product out? Like it's all about the money, and like you take a player out of the game, that's taken away from everything. Like you're ruining your product.
Well, for us, but it's giving Green Bay that shot at the deep ball. So you have to, you know, they want action. Yeah, they want.
Scoring. I guess I see what you're saying, but I disagree with the call.
Yep.
We all
penalty, but not to throw him out.
Correct. Give him 15 yards. All right.
That ended up being 30 because he got had a little fun with it, but
yeah. Jameer, bro. Jameer is averaging 6.4 yards per carry. Is there a way to look up?
He's dangerous.
Baltimore Ravens running back. What he's averaging? Let's get our stat. Let's get our stat guy on that, because I mean he's pretty much the leading running back in the league right now, but. If Jameer is averaging 6.4, I just wonder where he's at. Maybe we can pull that up. But what do you guys think about our running backs the last game, Plax and Clay?
I was actually thinking when I saw Gibbs come in, I was actually kind of mad because I thought it was going to be Montgomery's game. Like I really thought he was the back to do it. He was the back for that game and for that weather. But Gibbs, man, that was a 4th-and-1. Took it to the house. Guy is stud, man. And he took some hits too. He took a hit right before that too. So. But our Sonic and Knuckles, man.
All right, he's averaging 6.3.
That's Derrick Henry right here. So he's averaging one more than Derrick Henry.
Let's go. He's the leading average rusher in the NFL right now at 6.4.
Yep, that's Kyler Murray. He doesn't count.
What's he averaging?
8.1 every time he rushes.
Yeah, he's not a running back. So out of all running backs, Jameer Gibbs lead. That's great. That's a great stat, man. Thank you for pulling that up.
So it seems like they really did Montgomery was first half, Gibbs was second half.
Yep.
Monty kind of closed out the game, but I mean, it was divide up in first and second, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and Derrick Henry's got about 60 more attempts than Jameer Gibbs.
Oh, dang. Oh, yeah, because we're splitting, and he's the bell cow.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, that is such a huge advantage to sit for a drive, right, and get your composure back, get your breath back, and they just, you know, tag team each other. They're ready to go.
That to me, shows that we're a playoff team. Because if Derrick Henry is already at this and we have 10 more weeks left of the season, plus postseason games, I mean, that dude is going to be abused all year. And here comes our two running backs that have half of the luggage, half of the tread on the tires, and we're still going to be ready for the playoffs. So it's going to, man, this team's so good, bro. Oh.
Yep. That's something me and Caleb were talking about. We watched the game downtown Grand Rapids last night, and I think it was early. I think it was like second quarter. Montgomery had a little bit of a – he took a hit, had a little thing with his leg, came out, And I think it was Jameer for like two straight drives. And we're like, you know, is Monty okay? Yeah, it's just you can, just like Clay said, you can afford to let a guy sit and just be fresh at all times. Take a whole drive off. Jameer with the dynamicness, got the touchdown, breaking tackles. And then, like you said, at the end of the game, when it's ground and pound, run the clock, Montgomery comes in and he does his job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, jump back on Amon-Ra real quick. He is the fastest player in franchise history to reach 4,000 career receiving yards. So he did that in, what, 57 games? So you're comparing, I mean, think Alvin Johnson, think Herman Moore, think all these guys. Mm-hmm. And this dude at 6 foot even, maybe? Maybe even 5'11". I don't know how tall he is, but, I mean, the dude is just – he's the slot merchant, baby.
That's right. I mean, it's like that touchdown grab he had, like that was just him wanting the ball. Like the corner played it really well, as good as you can play it. But Goff threw it. Yeah, filthy route and filthy throw by Goff. It was just awesome.
Yep. So one defensive player I wanted to get into before we do some other things here, game balls, is – I want your guys' thoughts on J. Kerb. Kirby Joseph.
Zuper.
Are we handing out game balls?
You want to get into it?
I want to talk about him.
I mean, let's get into it. Let's get into it. All right. Who fumbled the ball? Who gets the game ball?
Right.
We always start with Clay. Which way are we going?
Let's start with fumbling.
Oh, all right. Who fumbled the ball for you, Clay?
I do think the same old Lions slogan, life is gone and dead. But part of that still lives in me. It's in the back of my mind that we're going to need more and more points. So that trick play, man, I just the loss of Raymond when he lost like 20 some yards on it or whatever. Just that play for me was just get to the line and end the game. You know, try to get a first down, run it down their throat. So it just kind of gave – that was just kind of offsetting to me. Like, just come on. Let's just finish this game and go home.
Which I have to say, for that to be a fumble ball and we're talking about one play, like, that's great. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, a couple weeks ago, it was, like, offensive line, like, holding. So that's good. That's good. All right, Adrian, what you got?
All right, we'll fumble the ball. Yeah. To me, it was Amik Robertson. And Dave and I talked about it yesterday at the game. So Meek had been chatting and, you know, talking trash. I had noticed it for quite a few plays, jawing at Green Bay's players. And Jack Campbell had to restrain him so that they wouldn't get a penalty. Really? So then fourth quarter, it was that fourth down. It was like, what, fourth and two or something that Green Bay had. Meek gets the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, which gave him a first down, and then that's when they scored their only touchdown. So if Amik just keeps his cool, just keeps his composure to end the game, you know, it was fourth down. It would, you know, but would have been a turnover on downs. But basically, I'm giving him the fumble ball for not keeping his cool.
Like, and Glenn warned him throughout the game. Glenn was telling him, "Stop, man, stop."
Yeah, yeah, they told him several times, but you know, he kept jawing at other players till he got the flag. So not cool, man. Gotta keep your composure. It might have been a close game, you know, so
can't moving do that. Forward. Yeah, moving forward, you know what to do better. Yep. All right, Plax, what you got for a fumble?
Yeah, I had a meet too, and this is not the first time. I mean, there's been some times he just gets real hot. He's having a few other games, but you know, he lost his cool, didn't really affect the game too much at the end, but I hate how that gave them their touchdown and it made the score look closer than what it actually is, because we literally dominated the whole thing.
Yeah.
And like anybody else could look at the bottom of the ticker like, oh, it's a pretty decent little game. It wasn't. It really wasn't.
Right.
But and then you could see they kept panning over to him on the sideline and he just would not chill out. And then when they went and got the touchdown, you know, it was like, you know, hopefully a lesson learned. But yeah, that was a little pee in the water there at the end. But
Well, I'll say you guys saw more than I did because I was at a party, and yeah, whenever there was a touchdown, I mean, we couldn't hear Tom Brady. We couldn't hear anything. It was stupid. So I like all the insight that you're giving me about that. The one thing that I did see, fumble of the ball, it's the refs, it's New York. If they called down and ejected Brian Branch off of that, that's a complete fumble because literally we're out Hutch, we're out, you know, and then they take our next best player, and it's just like,
is
somebody wanting Green Bay to make this closer than it should be? So
what if that's the NFC Championship or something?
Exactly.
Soft we're calling it? Imagine if it was really like,
I would not be able to sleep.
That's a game changing call.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into who gets the game ball. This could go any way. We start with Clay. Who gets your game ball, Clay?
Kirby. 100%. Game changer, man. Like, really just like I said, the old lines of pass, who could just let the Packers go down there right before halftime, tie it up, or go ahead, give up a pass interference play. But Kirby, man, just goes out there, pick six, and then that allows the Lions to double dip after halftime, and then it was just up and running after that. So what a play just to – it really changed the entire game. Kind of spooked the Packers. They had to change up their game plan. So
did we double dip? I can't remember. Did we score coming out of half?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's when Gibbs got the touchdown.
Yep.
Okay. Fourth and one.
That's when we went up 24-3. Yeah.
So double dip. Good job. Good call. Yes, all right. Adrian, you agree with that, or are you gonna go off?
Jay Kerb. We gotta rename Lambeau Field to Kirby's Crib. Because every time he goes there, bro, every time he goes there, he's like player of the game. My kudos goes because of the Brian Branch call. Like, the two safeties, they depend on each other. Like, they have a chemistry where they know where the other guy's going to be so they can cover a certain part of the field or do whatever. So for Kirby Joseph to lose his guy early in the game and then, you know, have Brandon Joseph come in, the backup safety, like him trying to pick up the slack, and even with that, get a pick six, impact the game, change the game, keep things locked down. He played awesome, man. He deserves a game ball for sure.
Love it. All right, Plax, what are you going to do?
Yeah, Kirby's the obvious one, man. Like, he's just a game changer. I felt like that was, like, just an absolute kick in the gut. Like, you could just feel the air come out of the stadium, and I wasn't even there. But, I mean, you could give a 1A, 1B to Goff, you know, Goff as well.
Yeah.
Especially that touchdown to Amon-Ra could not have been placed any better, straight into like the wind coming in crazy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just still play action, four step drop, still work in the middle of the field. Just never felt like it just felt like just a regular day. Didn't make any mistakes. I'll give like a 1A, 1B, Kirby and Goff, but Kirby definitely game changer.
And he's leading the league in interceptions now. Well, he's tied now with McKinney. They're both tied for first, but yeah.
Is that six or six?
Six.
And one more thing about the weather, too. I have to give it some more credit to Dan Campbell. I mean, he went for on that fourth down to St. Brown, but he knew what the weather was. He knew it was going to happen, and he knew he needed points before that win hit, so props to him for knowing the weather too. He had to know it was coming, so he knew he needed points early.
Yeah, I think he noticed, like, let me take advantage now that it's not crazy because the forecast says it's supposed to be crazy. So,
all right, this might be the weakest of my game balls ever, but I'm gonna try to just talk it out. I would have gone Jay Kerb with you guys, but you know, three people already mentioned.
All right, you want to be different?
I gotta try to be different. Okay. I want to get your guys' first reaction to this.
No.
Terrion Arnold. Let's go. Champagne. Bro, and why? You don't hear the dude's name. He's a rookie. He's not getting burnt.
Yep.
I just go back to Okuda, and we my God, we would already be calling him. Dude. I mean, misses. And I don't know if he was on Watson. I don't know if he was on Dubs. I don't know who he was on. Like I said, we were at a party, and I'm just walking around the place. But you never hear the dude's name. And mm-hmm. to me, that's what you want. You either want to hear it and then pick, like Kirby, or you don't want to hear it. And so, you know, he's a rookie. I've never given him a game ball yet. And, you know, he really doesn't deserve the game ball. But I just love that we're not hearing his name being called. And he's a rookie. And if you go over to the New York Jets right now, remember who used to be called for every single pick and every single shutdown? It was Sauce Gardner, right? A couple years ago. It was he is the best. Well, since then, what's happened to Sauce? He's not as good as he once was. He's not shutting people down. He's not on an island. But we're hearing from Terrion that he's literally shutting people down. Like, I don't know if you can pull up the stats on how many times he was attempted to throw at and how many times, you know, there was completions. But I'll give him a game ball.
Chilled out too.
I'll give him a game ball because no one scored on him.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. What were we saying about him? You know, the first 3-4 weeks, he was always in the – either fumble the week, or you know, getting all the penalties. He had the one hold on the punt team, I think. But like you said,
could have been a safe hold though too, because he bobbled that. Raymond bobbled that, so if he would have got that hit on him, could have been bad. So
ever since the bye week, man, he cleaned it up.
That's awesome, bro. Anyway, that's where I'm at, fellas. We got Houston next week. 8:20 Sunday night. Everyone get your rest. Everyone get your assembly in. It's a rest day, Sabbath day, and then it's football at night. Woo! Let's go.
I'm going to Texas.
Yes, sir.
So that might be quick, high scoring game.
Quick projections on that. What do you think? I'll start it off. Lions 48. Texans.
Oh, because we get J-Mo back. J-Mo's coming back.
32-48. Yeah. You heard it here first.
Oh, you think they're going to score 32 points, though?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
That's not a bad call.
You're right. They don't have anybody to throw to. Shoot. 28. You're right. 28.
There you go.
20-point win.
All right. That sounds better.
All right, Clay, what you got?
38-17 Lions.
38-17. All right. Got it written down here. And who's next? Adrian, you want to start us off?
42-17.
And Plax?
What are we?
Let me get a 42-24.
What we're going to be.
What was that first one?
I think it's that right there.
42-24.
Woo! Love it, fellas. Hey, man, it's been a good pod. Very good pod. We ran a little over. Sorry for the last 8 minutes and 25 seconds of your all life listening. But listen, those of you who are listening, we need you SpeakPipe. We need you on SpeakPipe. We need you on Instagram. We need questions.
Yeah, call
we need
in, man.
Man, it's like... Do we have one follower out in the world that wants to talk to us?
We want
to
hear you.
We're making all these millions and can't communicate with our fans. So, hey, we're going to try to get some guest speakers on. We're going to try to get some actual players and or media members to hop on too. Yeah.
Let's do it.
We're going to try it.
And the invite's out.
All right. For Clay, Plax, Adrian, and Caleb, this is the All Grit Podcast.